Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. And how about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the Great Mother, the Moon. We will look at the archetypal images of the past, cellular memory, manifestation, protection, and nurturance. Yes, the Moon symbolizes mother, but it is so much more. Listen as we show how the relationship with an actual parent can be expanded and understood from an inner perspective. We don't have to rewrite our past, just begin looking with new insights. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and become a whole person in the adult stage. So Swami, just a quick note about Mother's Day. Mother's Day has been celebrated in the United States since the late 1800s, but didn't really become a national holiday until 1910, and moms everywhere have Anna Jarvis to thank for that. In 1907, she began her campaign to honor all mothers living and deceased. So today, Mother's Day is actually celebrated in 40 countries around the world. So, but let's talk about the summary that I just reviewed with everybody, and we're going to talk about the symbolism of Mother's Day.
Yeah, the whole thing of mother as an archetype, as a central theme universal to each and every one of us, and that's what the moon represents. And so it opens up the concept. And also, I think it helps us enormously, especially if we are in a situation maybe where we don't have a mother or an actual parent. And then the other thing is that it can also help us in a situation when we do have an actual parent, because what surrounds us is within us. And I think the more that you start to understand that, we are creating our reality, and that karmically we come into an incarnation and we're actually getting exactly what it is that we ordered. So depending on the relationship that you have with your actual parent is an indicator of the karmic pattern that you come in with. These are the lessons that we are here to learn. And by using the outside relationship to give us some insight into this inner dynamic for this archetypal central theme, the moon, and everything that it represents. Because it does represent the principle of manifestation. It's how we put things into form. It's how we give birth to our ideas. And what we'll talk about a little bit is this concept of this rebirthing of our bodies in the life force, how the moon affects and either can prevent us from doing that or be our biggest ally.
So how does the moon, how would that help us look at our, like we said in the summary, how would it look at the cellular memory and manifestation, protection, and especially nurturance? How do we make that connection there?
Well, a lot of it is usually established from our early upbringing, that our experience of the moon is going to be really initially experienced by mother. And that could be any image out there that provided you with protection, nurturance, and anything of that nature. And so it might not actually be your parent. For some of us, It could be our father or an aunt or a grandmother, or it could be your neighbor. But what we want to look at is the principles that are involved here. And then, like we said in the opening, what we're really trying to get at is the moon represents our feeling state. And our feeling state is really an important variable. And the more that we understand how our feelings affect how we're creating our reality.
Interesting. I find it very interesting when you were talking about that anybody, regardless of your gender, in a familial role can actually take the role of mother because of that nurturing principle that we're talking about. And isn't it interesting that, like you were saying, you don't really need to have the mother physical parent to feel like you have a connection to a mother.
Right. And the reason for that is that we're really dealing with this inner image. That reality isn't just the inward movement of light, but it's the outward projection of our images. And it is these archetypal universal principles that we use to shape our reality. If we come into an incarnation with an image that is challenged, then the important thing to understand is that we can change that. We don't have to accept that the way it is. And that's a big part of what I would consider to be the reconciliation of Mother's Day, is to realize how can we go about affecting the change, which ironically is also a huge lunar influence, that the moon rules change.
So again, we find ourselves in a situation where if we can live in harmony with our complete surroundings, including the celestial bodies and the moon in this case, that it can really enrich and deepen our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Because when we're in harmony with divine law seeking expression, we're in a positive feeling state. So we're experiencing contentment, joy, happiness, bliss, wonder, awe. When we have a positive feeling state, we're closer to the creative principle. So from this vantage point, we have a better chance of getting requests accepted.
So, and we have talked about this before in several shows, and always trying to be creative. Like you say, use your creative principles, the creative forces within you to get what you want or to ask for what you want. And so I think it's interesting that we say it once again in this show. It just seems to be this common thread that we do discuss all the time, this way of trying to be in this positive state 100% of the time.
Right. And that whole thing that we teach, that the thing of using your mind, using your creativity, using your imagination, that gives us insight. You can use visualization and you can use affirmations. But the important thing to understand is that you can't just take a positive thought and put it on a negative feeling or a belief. It doesn't do anything. So a big part of being able to be in a position of strength is to keep your inner environment in harmony, to experience those feelings of joy and happiness and contentment, because that's the way that we're going to start to shape our reality, that our subconscious responds to our dominant feeling.
No, I know I have talked about this before in previous shows as well, and that is, I think we have to have the wisdom to understand when we have a negative belief, right? So I guess my question to you is, can you give us an example of what a negative belief might be, and then we try to stamp a positive feeling to it?
Yeah, see, when we're in discord and conflict with divine law-seeking expression, we're in a negative feeling state. So we're experiencing things like fear, anger, jealousy, envy, frustration, depression, apathy. When we're in a negative feeling state, we're resistant to the creative principle. So from this disadvantage, we're unable to get our requests accepted.
So the feelings that you had mentioned earlier, those can turn actually into beliefs. Like fear can turn into being afraid, and that becomes your belief that you become afraid of everything and anything.
Yeah, see, and that's where these feelings, when they become internalized like as cellular memory, these patterns that we internalize, and a lot of them are erroneous, limiting, negative beliefs that we have accepted. And so, but what we're not really clear about is how they're affecting our ability to move forward with our lives and just how it's affecting our ability to be creative and imaginative and productive and prosperous.
Now, would you say that if somebody is at a point and they say to themselves, boy, I need to make a change here, something in my life has to change, that to me would kind of be like the kick in the pants to them that they may need to make some adjustments to their feeling state, that maybe they are living in this, what you call this negative feeling state.
Yeah, and we get into these ruts where I call that we're actually living from an unconscious moon, and that we're repeating ourselves. That we're doing the same thing, we're expecting different returns, and nothing's working out. And in order to get out of that, we really have to activate a conscious moon. And a big part of what we teach in Kriya Yoga, this thing that they call initiation, is designed to do that. That's exactly what it's all about. And what's interesting is that this initiation begins with a separation from mother, a separation from this pattern that we have. We have to be taught how to do this from somebody who can do it, that it isn't going to happen by itself. There's a big difference between rebellion and separation.
Yeah, because we just don't want to just throw our hands up in the air and I'm out of here kind of a thing. I mean, it's a thoughtful process that we go through to make this separation happen.
Right, because again, there you are. You're in a negative feeling state, and now you have this intention. But you place this intention on a negative feeling state, you don't go anywhere. And so that becomes even more frustrating and infuriating. Whereas if you go about it in a way that you're able to manage your inner subjective state and you're able to sustain a harmonized feeling state with divine law seeking expression, then you're in a position of strength.
Right. So we have to get ourselves to that point to understand that's what we need to do. I mean, that is something that has to happen.
Right. And apart from what we talk about here, this isn't something that the average person hears. And that's where a lot of what we're doing here is really revolutionary. These mm-hmm. are new ideas.
Absolutely.
This is really a new way of looking at this ancient wisdom. And then it's an application of that.
Right. We're gonna hold that thought right there and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, before the break, we were talking about negative feeling states, and you were saying that when we're in a negative feeling state, we're resistant to the creative principle, and from that disadvantage, we're unable to get our requests accepted. So, how exactly do we go about making that change?
Right. Well, when the queen is happy, there's peace and prosperity in the kingdom. So the whole thing here is that you want to resolve all issues that you may have with the mother, the past, your cellular memory. The key here is to get yourself happy. That, to me, is what the foundation of Kriya Yoga is all about. When you are now accustomed to using what you really do need, see the availability of your number one need, the life force, prana, the grace of God, that this invisible, intangible resource is now associated with your peak experience feeling. Now there's going to be peace in the kingdom.
So how does... I want to get back to cellular memory. So somebody might think that they're happy now, but what if it is something that's deep rooted cellularly that they can't pull out? They're unaware of it. It's not in their consciousness that it's something that has to be addressed.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the reasons why in a practice of Kriya Yoga, there's a lot of work where you become introspective, analytical, observant, reflective. You really have to be aware of what you're thinking, how you're feeling, what you're saying, and what you're doing. And another great way of just cross-examining your life is to look at what you want and then compare it to what you're getting. Like, is your life unfolding in the way that you are expecting it to? Are you getting what you want? And if you're not, then you can immediately recognize that there's conflict. There's resistance here. That I'm asking for stuff, but I'm not getting it. How we find solution to that is we have to realize that solution begins with circumstances as they are. And the more we realize that we are creating our reality, but we're doing it with the thoughts we think, our feeling state, and the beliefs that we have accepted, then at least you're in a position of strength because you know that you're creating your reality. Once you recognize this, then the quicker you can start to change. And to me, change, like we said earlier, it's a real characteristic of the moon.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So I know you have said in the past that we are the creators of our own reality, so that anything that happens in our lives, we bring it to ourselves. So in a sense, even without us knowing it, we are the creative principles, whether we're aware of it or not. And I think that's the key right there.
Right. I mean, whatever's happening in our lives, if it's not happening consciously, it's happening unconsciously or karmically. The more that we understand that relationship and the more that we accept that as a reality, then the easier it is for us to look for solution, because you assume responsibility. When you're a victim and everything is happening to you and you're justified for being where you are, then nothing happens. You still don't get what you want.
Yeah, right. So then I think you're right where you say that the teachings of Kriya Yoga and going through those processes and procedures would actually help us to figure out, like you said, analyze what's going on so that you can or we can make these changes.
Right. And then you start by, you thank your actual parents for your first birth. And remember, everything is exactly the way we ordered it. We're not victims. Blaming comes with the regressive cycle. And when we don't initiate the progressive cycle, we remain in the grips of this unconscious moon. So the whole thing of taking an unconscious moon and now making it a conscious moon, when you activate the conscious moon, now you can rebirth your body, because the moon is the mother. Moon is the principle that enables us to give birth. So by activating the unconscious moon and making it a conscious moon is where we can start to initiate this second birthing of our bodies. And here's where you might want to get some help from the Kriya Yoga ashram. And our first birth, we became sons and daughters of humans. We really had no choice with that. But this second birth, we become sons and daughters of the divine. And it is all conscious choice and effort.
I know we had talked about a little bit on Thursday night at the Theory 2 class, that we had talked about the differences between sons of man and sons of God and what our interpretations of that are. And you had a really good way of explaining that to us. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, that's kind of like what I just said now, that our first birth made us sons of men. And what that, of course, that's not a very politically correct way of saying it, but that's the way they used to say it, that we were sons or daughters of men. Now, this concept of becoming a son or daughter of God wasn't something that you were either born that way or not, that this second birth was something that we could initiate, that it was a choice. But it had a very specific format to it, that rebirthing your body in the life force, first of all, it doesn't happen by accident. It's not going to happen to you, and praying for it doesn't make it happen. But if you understand what the books were saying, that you actually had to separate from your attachment to things visible and tangible, and then acquire a taste for something that was invisible and intangible. And when you did that, then you changed your source of sustenance. You changed the reward circuits in your brain. You changed neurological pathways. Now you desire this void or this nothing. Or you love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, your mind. That you become addicted to another source of sustenance. That's not magic, and it's not just something you believe in. It's physics. It's instruction to do something. And activating the conscious moon is really a great way of getting that so that you can experience what it is that we're talking about.
And so you have been saying that all along, and I think what you're saying is when you talk about that we need to get this connection, this is what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And when you have the benefit of internal support, then the first thing that really happens is that there's calmness because your body isn't searching for something that produces a feeling that you're okay, that you actually hardwire the panel. That's what beliefs are. Beliefs really are thoughts that have a feeling state assigned to them. Mm-hmm. And so when the thought comes up, now it evokes a feeling, and then, of course, that feeling is what creates this frequency that goes out into the universe, and then the universe answers us and matches that frequency. So whether it's positive or it's negative, it is that frequency that we are attracting things into our lives with.
Because as you would say, like attracts like, right? And so it comes right back down to what we were talking about earlier, you know, positive feeling states and negative feeling states. And if we don't have this resource-based economy, and we don't try to get this connection, then chances are we can be pulled into this negative feeling state rather quickly.
Right. And even when you do have it, it's very easy to lose it. That's why the fall from Eden is one bite of an apple from one of those trees and you're banished from Eden. You're thrown into the realms of suffering and decay. And so that's why you really need a practice. This is something that you do on a regular basis, and you're constantly patrolling the frontier of this connection, and you're making sure that the plug didn't come out of the wall.
I like that. I was just thinking, you say sometimes that you have to constantly weed your garden. So that's what reminded me of when you were just talking about that. And you say you got to go in there and look at all of your houses. We do this when we do the labyrinth exercise, and pull out those weeds and make sure we don't give them a chance to root.
Right. And also, that's why, again, the labyrinth is an incredible tool, because you actually visit these different facets of your mind. You're implementing imagery or you're doing evaluations of these departments in your life. And that's being very proactive.
And isn't that much better than the alternative? And that is to manage the problems after they've already arisen, as opposed to you try to do it before things happen.
Right. That's right. An expression that I grew up with was an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That if you're doing your homework, then you'll minimize your workload.
Right. And it makes more sense. And in the long run, it's a lot easier if you just keep weeding out the garden, as opposed to, you know, when those weeds get rooted, like I said, then we're going to have some trouble, I think. So I think it's probably almost about that time that we have to start closing down our show today. So, listeners, I invite you out there to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can post comments about this show, maybe give us some ideas about shows you'd like us to consider in the future. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We'll be talking about the ascension of Jesus. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to sum up and explain how this second birth affects the relationship with our actual parent. Because once we separate from this original pattern, we begin to develop an adult relationship with our mothers. And from that vantage point, there's no more control dramas, there's no more blaming or manipulation, that adults have the capacity for unconditional giving. And I would like to wish everybody a belated Happy Mother's Day. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.